Welcome everyone to episode 101 of Bike Club Show. This is Eileen.
This is Lynn.
This is Shannon.
And this is Josh.
And we are back for another True Blood recap and some news in the fantastic world. This is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/bikeclubshow, where Stephanie, who is absent tonight, is very, very active. You could also find us on Twitter at Bike Club Show, and you can find our website, bikeclubshow.com. And if you want to go ahead and email, bikeclubshow@gmail.com. All right, we start each and every week with a wine selection of the week. I have one, which I drank a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to try to remember how I liked it. I know I liked it a lot. It was a Chianti from 2009 from Collezione de whatever. I don't know. And this is so sad because all I'm going to say is that it was delicious and I give it four fangs. All right. There is a picture on our website of the Chianti in question if you guys are wondering. It is bottled in Rufina, Italy. Again, 2009, I don't know. It was really delicious. It was one of those, like, you open it up and you're like, wow, this is really good. And I don't even know how to really describe it. I mean, I don't have it in front of me because I'm not drinking it currently, but it's just one of those Chiantis that just kind of, I don't know. I think of Chianti not as a top level kind of wine. You know, it's sort of like, yeah, you have it with heavy foods or whatever in an Italian restaurant. But this one actually kind of sits well with some of the top level wines that I've had. Oh. So that, I don't know, maybe I'm just the only one that thinks that way about Chianti. But I thought it was a top tier drink in the vino section.
Yum.
Yeah. So there you go. Chianti 2009 Collezione de Paolo, I think, is what it is. But anyways, check the picture out and, you know, many ways to try and find where to get that. And I can't remember if someone gave this to us as a gift or if we bought it. I think we got it as a gift. I'm not quite sure. So thank you to whoever gave it to us because I don't remember now. It's so sad. It's also sad. It's just like, oh my gosh.
But it tastes good. That's all I'm
It tasted good and I don't think I would have taken a picture of it if I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there you go, our wine selection of the week. A very quick one, sorry for the total non-description, but I guarantee you it was delicious. So let's go ahead and get into our news, shall we? Okay, the only piece of Twilight news that I have is related to a internet service or a app that I use called GetGlue, and you could check into movies and TV shows and actually redeem stickers, and it's sort of a social networking site, you know, that you could comment, like if I check into a movie, like if I check into Twilight, Shannon, you can comment and go, oh yeah, Twilight rules or whatever. And then, you know, yeah, you know, you use it a lot. I see you posting and you can kind of, when you check into something, you could post it onto Twitter or Facebook. And what's really cool is they have physical stickers. You earn stickers after watching several episodes of a show or if you are watching a movie on opening weekend and whatnot. And I've actually redeemed a ton of stickers. And I have a, which is really cool because for the first time that I redeemed stickers, I got a ton of True Blood stickers. So I was really excited. I got some Glee stickers. I got a Mad Men sticker. The thing is, you don't know what sticker you're going to get. They just send it to you and you hope, because some of them, they run out fast or whatever. So I have a Walking Dead premiere sticker too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Glee, Mad Men, Fringe, a Truby sticker. I have so many. And you can earn them, but again, when you redeem them, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get and if you're going to get the sticker that you want. But in related to Twilight, they actually have Breaking Dawn stickers already on GetGlue. So there are 14 stickers, and a lot of them, it's sort of like the title logo and then scenes and stills that we've already seen online of Bella and Edward and... Jacob, I wanted to call him Taylor. I just wanted to say Taylor. You know, Taylor, Lautner, running. Most of them are of Bella and Edward. And then there's one with Bella and Alice. And it looks to me like the Alaskan vampires, which if you've read the book, you know who they are.
Yes.
And so there are 14 stickers listed. And as soon as the premiere comes up, there's probably going to be more. And I guess what's interesting is that, I guess you can just check into Breaking Dawn and you can start redeeming these stickers already.
Yeah.
So
I got
that's
two
great.
Already.
Oh, you did? Which ones did you get?
I got the Bella and Edward number one.
Okay.
And one that just said Breaking Dawn on it.
Okay. Which one is the number one? What's the picture of?
It's them. I think they're facing each other. Let me pull up my Get Glue real quick.
Okay.
And I'll let you know which one. Yeah, it was really easy. I just checked into Breaking Dawn. You don't even have to watch the trailer.
I guess you're checking into the trailer.
Yeah, they're facing each other.
Okay.
And it looks like he's got his hand on her cheek.
Oh, okay.
Like over on the side.
Oh, yes. I know which one that is. Yeah.
Yeah, so what's one, it? And then the other one's just Breaking Dawn.
So you checked into it via the movie, right? Because there's when you open up the app, there's TV, movie, games, books, even wine.
Yes.
You didn't go to books, right? You went to movie and checked in.
No, I actually just searched at the top for Breaking Dawn, and I put in the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. So it's the movie.
Okay. Okay, so it's the movie. All right. Well, anyways, then you can redeem and maybe actually get the physical sticker yourself. So, very cool. It's a really, really cool service. I like to use it to track shows that I watch and get some feedback from my friends. So, anyways, there's that. And moving on to True Blood. Lynn, did you put this in here?
Yeah, I did. I saw this. It was, I can't remember... It was from the Hollywood Reporter or from wherever that took me to this TVLine.com article. And it's written by Michael Osiello. And it's about the Felicity guy. I did not watch this, so I did not know him. But Scott Foley will be coming onto the show for the September 11th finale episode. And he is going to play an old friend of Terry's, Arlene and Terry. So I kind of have a feeling this was... pretty much right timing, because I noticed, and I'm sure we're going to recap True Blood shortly, Terry seemed a bit, he got his like soldier mentality back, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I saw this article, I was like, wow, this is pretty good timing. And then they have him on for the September 11th season finale. So, and then he's going to come back. It says Foley will have a major recurring presence next season. So that's season 5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Like this from the books, or is this?
I don't think this is related to the books at all. I don't remember this character at all.
Oh, and he, I guess, still. Oh, so he is still on Grey's Anatomy, because I watched Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. So it says the True Blood gig isn't expected to impact the actor's current day job on Grey's Anatomy. So awesome. Okay. Good, because I like him there. Oh,
yeah, because I think they shoot different times, you know, because True Blood is in the summer and Grey's Anatomy is in the fall, you know, spring.
So. Oh, no, but it may affect the next season, season 5.
Oh.
Because they probably start film in December or something.
Well, I hope they don't kill him on Grey's Anatomy. But.
Oh, no. He had just told... What's her Kim Raven's character? They love each other.
I
so
he like could be killed by a vampire on Grey's Anatomy.
Well, I remember him on Felicity. I loved him. He was Noel. He was the guy that I thought Felicity should have ended up with. But whatever.
Hey.
I'm very happy to see him back on Grey's Anatomy and now True Blood. Oh, I can't believe it. Awesome.
Yes.
Very cool. Next week's previews, should we talk about that now or let's talk about that after we recap? Yeah.
I thought I just, cause I was curious what was going to happen because the ending was really like jaw dropping and I was like, oh, I need to see previews.
Yeah. Of course. I don't really have any news about Vampire Diaries, but I know we talked about this trailer last week. But just a reminder that the premiere is Thursday, September 15th, and the finale for True Blood is Sunday, the 11th. So 4 days later, we get a brand new show. After the end of one, we start another.
Yay!
So, yay! Okay, that's it for news. Let's get to our recap.
Yes, I think there's going to be a lot to
talk about. All right, it's time for a recap of True Blood Season 4, Episode 9, called Let's Get Out of Here.
When you came in, the air went out. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
Okay, well, a lot happened in this episode. A lot I liked and a lot I didn't like. I don't know about you guys.
I agree.
I'm kind of like a little worried about this season. I mostly like it, but I don't know. I don't love it. So anyways.
And there's, you know, I think what's missing, there's no big central pull that's really cool. I mean, usually there's one big thing in every
You mean
season.
Like last
I mean, I guess
year with King
Marnie
Russell?
Was kind of what?
Like last year with King, or with Russell kind of thing?
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it's supposed to be the witches, but
yeah, right.
Such a small piece of the entire show because there's so much going on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, because I think it would be Marnie slash her, you know, the
Antonia.
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 but yeah, it doesn't. But anyway, we'll talk about.
All right. Well, last we left our gal Suki, she got shot. And Alcide found her and started running away with her to, you know, hopefully get help. Well,
I did like Bill snatching him.
Yeah.
Her out of Alcide's hands.
That exactly. Was awesome.
We pick up where we leave off, and yeah, Bill snatches her away from Alcide and runs up and tries to give her his blood immediately, and she's not taking it. And then, oh, cliffhanger. Well, you know, all's fine. She'll get the blood. She does get the blood, and then she's fine in a little bit. And, you know, Alcide is pretty upset at her. You know, says, again, with the fang bangers, you know, you're in trouble again because of them. And she says, I'm done. I'm done here. And she
totally wasn't even, like, grateful for him saving her.
All she said
where's Eric? We got to go find Eric.
Oh, I know.
I was a bit annoyed at that moment. I was like, come on, at least be grateful of, you know, being saved. So I don't know. At that time, I was kind of annoyed at Suki.
Only that time?
As we move forward, I will.
Annoyed. So he storms out and then Bill says he's going to try and find Eric. And she did thank Bill for the blood.
Yes, yeah.
At least.
And at that moment, I actually thought that Bill really cared for Suki.
Absolutely.
Know? There was
I totally
that,
agree. Yeah,
that shot of, I was like, oh, Bill.
I know, his face.
And like, they played their old theme.
Yeah.
They did, didn't they?
Quiet in the background, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Well, let's just talk about the thing that kind of bugged us right off the top.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, she gets his blood, and of course, she's going to have some dreams.
Yes.
But this time, her dream involves the both of them. All three of them, really.
Late night showtime from the 80s. That's what I felt like I was watching.
You know, she looked hot in that red getup,
yeah,
and then
did.
I see Eric coming in, and then and they make out, they kiss, and then all of a sudden, Bill is there, and they're sharing the dream. Okay, go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, no, the shot of them in the foyer or in the whatever, the front door area, mm-hmm. is that the foyer? Was Suki and Eric, and mm-hmm. she was in that lacy red nightgown mm-hmm. robe thing. And I just was like, okay, is this going to be like an, you know, cheesy soft porn kind of feel?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, not that I watched that, but I just feel like it had a, it had a
it
lot
totally
of that.
Totally had that feel.
Okay. Yeah. So.
And the sax music playing in the background. Oh. I mean, I think they were intentionally trying to. They were trying to be ironic with that, since it was her dream and like a wish, you know, an impossible wish fulfillment, whatever. I think they were trying to be kind of funny with it, like pointing out, like, hey, it's a sex scene, but but it didn't work. It was another case like with the friggin' bed in the snow where. Where they had a certain idea and they didn't pull it off, and it just ended up, I mean, even if it hadn't been the threesome, even before that, it still would have felt cheesy, even if, to me, even if it had just been her and Eric, just because of the way it was done. And it's just another example of the feel just feeling off this season in certain, you know, in certain scenes. So
I didn't feel, I guess I was a little fearful of potentially seeing all three of them naked, you know, I was a little scared, but I
just haven't enjoyed the nudity this season, Lynn.
I know, what is wrong with me? Oh my gosh.
I kind of wanted that scene to keep on going just because.
Really? Oh, wow.
I knew it was cheesy and I was giggling the whole time and I was like totally immature about it. But at the same time, I was like, oh, that's it? When they started making out? I was like, at least make it a bigger scene.
Did anybody? Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying it wasn't as awkward as the snow. At least I was, you know, I laughed. I thought it was, you know, cheesy, but I laughed. Right. I was entertained by it a little bit, but yeah, it didn't. I mean, it wasn't the threesome scene that, you know, people kind of were anticipating, you know, to be.
Yeah.
And so, I just didn't like Sookie's, like her
nightgown?
You just need to both love me. I mean, it just didn't, it didn't feel like her, you know?
Yeah,
I didn't feel like that even in a wish fulfillment dream that would necessarily be the way that she would act. I mean, did you guys?
No, she was completely different. She was, like extremely confident to a point where she was out of character.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
But it is a dream, so that's what she wants to be more. But
she looked really good, though.
She looked great.
I really like her hair this season, and her body. I think she got a little skinnier because you could see her ribs. But she looked really good. I was like, oh, wow, okay.
I have to say, I thought Stephen Moyer looked great in that scene. There was something, like, they gave him a little more life.
Oh,
like, they made him sexier. I don't know, because then you go back to the present, and he just looked like regular Bill. I don't know. In that scene, he looked like, he kind of looked like the Bill of, like, old. Like
season one, yeah.
Yeah, he looked really good. I'm like, why don't you make him look good all the time? Oh, right, because he's not the chosen one. Okay, I get it. That's fine. But it just reminds me that Stephen Moyer's a very good-looking man, and they make him look a little rugged. You know, I mean, I think they're making him look
a little worn.
Yeah, he's worried. He's the king. He doesn't have Sookie. Mm. So they're making him look a little less attractive. And, you know, you got to bolster up Eric, obviously, which you don't really need to do much with. But because he's just very good looking. But in watching that scene, I was very like pleased. I was like, oh, look at Stephen Moyer. He is also hot, everybody. So I just want to give him a little bit of props in that scene. But that was really weird. And Stephanie says in her note to us, she says, I feel like True Blood is getting so weird and cheesy. Not sure how I feel about the season. The threesome was strange. Not sure I liked it. And I'll read another quote that she had written once we get to it. But, and then, I don't know. These are the characters you're supposed to really, really care about. And I'm looking forward to other scenes instead
exactly.
of that.
Yeah, yes. Same here.
Again, you know, at first I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe this will be fine, you know. That was just that episode. But then again, this episode, I was more interested in in sort of the B team, you know, the
uh-huh.
other, the
Me too.
Totally agree.
All right. So we, where should we go next? I guess the witches are regrouping. And, what I liked about the scene with all the witches in there is that Tara was saying, hey, Bill was looking for some peace. You know what I mean? Like he was offering you
why
something.
Why did you throw away that deal? Right.
Why? You know, and she just, you know, shrugged it off. Like, I don't know. I am Antonia, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm not going to, like,
yeah, we
to
need to plan on how we're going to kill even more. It's just how she answered. Yeah.
Yeah. And she said, you know, and Tara's like, no, Antonia was upset because they only killed one.
Right. Right.
They only killed one, the one that walked out the sun.
I know. That was
pretty surprising. I guess Bill got to everybody else, right?
Yeah.
But I guess, Marnie or Antonia, I don't know what to call her anymore. Antonia, I guess.
Antonia. Yeah. She Marnie doesn't exist.
Yeah. Marnie's just kind of
the body.
In slumber. She has one supporter and now has Eric under her control, which is, still, it's just like, oh, where's Eric? he's either subservient to Sookie or subservient to Antonia. It's weird, right? Are we all getting tired of that? Are you guys tired of that? Do you guys want the Eric back?
He's still missing missing all of his memories. Right. So even when he was under Antonia's spell, he was still kind of like, he was like a puppy dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least more interesting to me because of the potential drama from it than when he and Sookie were having their little idol, which just totally did not work. Yeah. For either of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. It is weird to have Eric changed for so long.
Yeah, I do. I'm starting to really miss the confidence and the sarcasm from Eric's character. I want it back now.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to... I think three episodes left for the season. I don't know if he's going to have it back. I mean, they would have to destroy Marnie. And I actually, when we get to the other parts, I have a theory.
Oh, good.
Because I think... You know how we were kind of talking about, the other segments, like why are they putting in there like the Lafayette and the old lady or from the civil, I don't know the 50s or whatever with the baby. Why that's
well, we
in there.
We can go there. Why don't we go there? We're ready. We're pretty much ready. I mean, Marnie or Antonia pretty much says she's going to kind of spoil that big event. The vampire
tolerance night.
Yeah.
She traps everyone in the room.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think at first when Tara joined Marnie or Antonia in fighting back, I don't think that was what they all signed up for.
No, none of them. All of them want to leave. Holly wants to leave. Everybody's except for the
that one
guy.
Crazy guy. Yeah.
None of them want to be there.
I know. And then, we did miss the fact that during that time, Debbie came and told Antonia. This was kind of before she went to the hotel.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to Lafayette right now.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, I know. But because we were on the witches, that's why I didn't want to miss that part of it. So.
Oh, right. Well.
Are we going to go back to that?
Yeah. We'll go back to that.
Okay. Because I was a little lost in some part. But.
Oh, you mean the Debbie part or the.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just go to that because.
Okay, so
Debbie went to some street alley and got some V.
Yeah.
Why did she do that?
I think she needed courage.
Yeah, I think to face Sookie, she needed some enhancement. Yeah.
I thought she was
good about that.
She's so weak.
Oh,
you know, she needed that. I think part of her, she had a plan, right? Tell me if I'm wrong. Watching the whole thing, she got the V, took it. I felt like she needed that for courage to give her some sort of like, energy and
against the witches.
Well, not just that, but just, to talk to Sookie.
Yeah, that's how I took it.
Oh.
And then she goes and meets Sookie and kind of plays this act of wanting to help. And she knows that Sookie has the ability to read minds.
Uh-huh.
So when Sookie was trying to kind of to touch her, she still could have been playing dumb. Like, I just want you to know that I don't know why she doesn't know that I want to help her, blah, 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 blah.
She's good enough to, like, block her real feelings that she's thinking and just, like, make Sookie listen to the things that she wants Sookie to hear. She could potentially make her believe that.
Exactly. Now, at that moment, I actually did have a shred of, like, oh, maybe Debbie does want to help Sookie. I was kind of played, too, because I thought, okay, well, Sookie believes her. And she did say that in her mind. But so maybe she really does want to help. And you know, hey, yeah.
I was totally fooled because I really, initially I thought that she had bad intentions going. And the next thing was like, oh, she brought her flowers and was like, oh, let's help. And then, her thoughts were, you know, like, quote unquote, genuine as Sookie read it. Mm-hmm. But then at the witch's place, she went, you know, initially helping Sookie.
Right.
But then when Tara was pointing the gun at Sookie, she blurted out, oh, Sookie Stackhouse is here, you know?
Exactly.
So then was that when she turned or was she using that moment?
I think she was using that moment. I think. What do you guys think?
I couldn't tell.
Using that moment for good or bad, though.
For bad. Right? No?
Well, I'm trying to remember because that was, I guess she wouldn't know. Because
all of a sudden, at the end, she does that song and dance so that Sookie could get in there and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, she's like, well, I gave you Sookie Stackhouse.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah.
I didn't know if that, I mean, I almost thought maybe that was to distract Tara, who had the gun on Sookie. But on the other hand, Antonia is a much, much worse opponent than any human with a gun. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's
so
hard to read what exactly was going on in that.
Yeah.
Right. Because then she gets back in her car, though, right?
But I thought in that moment that Debbie wanted to just leave without her, and then Sookie comes running, and she's like...
Yeah, she had
a moment of like, oh, man, I guess I have to keep doing this, you know?
Right. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe
she really wanted to help, but she doesn't really want to help. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like she could be conflicted. Sure.
Yeah. I want to know what her real plan is.
Because we've seen her in several moments before, episodes before, struggling with her, you know, her not wanting Alcide to mess with Sookie, but on the other hand, giving in and saying, okay, let's go look for her. You know, when they went and saw her with Eric and things like that. So we've seen other cases of her being conflicted and not purely like, you know, I want Sookie.
I guess part of me that got me fooled too was because I thought maybe Debbie believed Sookie when Sookie said, Alcide really loves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, making her feel better about her relationship.
Right.
And after seeing Sookie in the woods with Eric, I really don't understand why Debbie would still be jealous other than, I mean, I guess because Alcide promised and still went after and helped Sookie.
It's like, how much reassurance do you need?
Yeah, it's a little much, but she is messed up too, so...
Right. Okay. Yeah. That part, that whole kind of like, I felt.
You're doubting Debbie still.
It was kind of this like emotional roller coaster. Like, I'm doubting. But then she was also being nice and Sookie read her. And then she kind of called her out. And then she was driving away. But then she was like, oh, shoot.
I'm not clear. I'm not too clear either. Part of me thinks Debbie is not really working for good.
Right.
But at the same time, she's trying to be good. I don't know. I know.
I guess
confused.
We'll see maybe the upcoming episode. I did appreciate Sookie. You know, it's like, oh, you've done enough. Okay, go back to Elsie. I don't want you in my mess or whatever. So that was good.
Yes. And then let's just go back to that scene where, you know, Tara pulls the gun at Sookie and... while Sookie's standing there with Eric, and I loved her. She's like, you hear what I'm thinking? And, you know, like, come at me now, Sookie.
Yeah, charge me.
That was really good. So I'm feeling good about Tara again. I'm like, oh, thank God. I don't think Tara's going to be like completely mad and go against Sookie. Cause I was a little worried there. I was like, oh God, is she not going to be friends? Are they not going to be friends anymore? But, I think she's, I think we're headed to okay with Tara, even though she's been messed up in the past. So we'll come back to the event at the end.
We'll come back
to that. But let's revisit. Let's go to Lafayette and the whole baby thing before we visit Jessica and Jason. Is this? Can you talk about your theory now? Because Lafayette has baby Mikey, and yes. basically bursted into her. Well, she's possessed by that woman, and that woman's old house is where Hoyt lives, and Hoyt is, you know, boxing up Jessica's things, monster things.
For you, monster.
Oh God, right. Sad. Did you guys notice that? We saw that last week. The Twilight book in there. Yeah.
The Twilight book and the. CD.
The Taylor Swift CD. Yeah. And so he gets pushed out and calls Jason, and Jason, you know, goes there with Andy, who's completely annoying right now with his V, but whatever. and so, you know, he's possessed and acting, and it's got a gun, and it's got Mikey. And what is your theory, Lynn? What's going on?
So this is my favorite scene for this episode. Like, mm-hmm. this whole, like, I kind of, like, I watched it twice, and I move forward, like, I fast forwarded, like, everything else just to kind of, like, watch the interactions to complete this, like, scene, mm-hmm. the story part. And so we all know, and in the past they set up that Lafayette is a medium, right? Mm-hmm. And then the boyfriend, Jesus, came, and
he's a bruja.
Bruja, yes. I forgot what he said. A practitioner of mm-hmm. magic,
right?
And so he was actually the perfect person to try to, you know, save Lafayette. And he went in, and he was able to talk with Mavis, who possessed. Who has Lafayette's body. So my thinking was, and you know, they did the whole thing where Jesus was able to pretty much convince her that, you know, you are dead. You mm-hmm. are in someone else's body, a male body. So therefore this is not your baby. And and then they sat through what happened because her spirit's still around. And they were able to kind of like have her leave peacefully, get out of Lafayette's body.
Well, they found the remains and everything. Yeah.
Right. And then, yeah. And then they're able to leave the body. Or find peace. So I'm thinking my theory is that Lafayette and, or maybe even Jesus would be the main person probably fighting against Antonia, because we just saw in that segment that Jesus is able to get the spirit out of the body.
You're right.
Yes.
Right.
So, but the tricky part is, how do you contain Antonia to be able to, you know, have Jesus use his bruja power magic to get her Antonia out of what is her name?
Marnie's
body. Oh my, yeah. So I have that theory after watching that, but then it's like, how does it happen? And I know Lafayette has powers. Does that mean he is going to recruit all the witches? You know how they can join circles, and then he is the most powerful out of all the Wiccas, you know? And maybe he can then contain
it'll Antonia. Take on Antonia's spirit.
And then Jesus can then be the main person to get the spirit out. And I don't know. How do you kill that spirit? Because they were able to find the reason why Mavis was still around, because right. they're looking for that dead body or where they're buried.
Okay.
But the reason Antonia is around is because they're still vampires. So yeah, right, it's
exactly.
Gonna be
so yeah. So my theory, my theory is more. Yeah, it's like halfway. I don't know how they're gonna execute it, but you know, who knows? We'll see in the next couple episodes.
Well, I think you're onto something, that it is definitely Lafayette that is going to have to face off.
Yeah.
And he's powerful. So how that's going to be, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's got to be a combo between him and Jesus.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, yeah. A combo. Maybe even all the ones that are trapped in that moon and goddess door. All the witches there too.
That's true. I mean, what a great scene that was, though, when they dug up the bodies. And Jesus touched him and the light and all of that, and everybody was watching, right? Yes. So Jason, Andy, Arlene, Terry. And Terry are all there. It's just like crazy. Oh, and Hoyt was there too. Oh my God.
Yeah, Hoyt, yes.
That was just, I thought it was a really powerful scene. And of course, what did he say when she said thank you?
Oh, bitch. I just remember bitch.
You're welcome, bitch.
Yeah. You got it, bitch.
He like snapped out of it right away. What a great actor Nelson is, because that just was from 1 minute was just like possessed, and then he just turned around and looked at, you know, the ghost, and he was back really in the character.
I loved his performance. I mean,
it was so intense, right? The whole time with the gun, and like when Terry and Jason and Andy were there trying to get her, and then went into the house because Andy broke down the door and all that stupid stuff, and then she actually shot at him and missed, and you know, it was all really, really intense. And then Arlene and Terry, and Arlene's running and they're like no, and Terry's running and Andy blocks him down, all that whole storyline was really, really I thought well done, actually.
And it was kind of comical too, because it started with Andy and Jason. Mm-hmm. Then Terry and Arlene came, and they're like, oh man. Then the nurse came, it's like, nurse.
Jesus.
<We're talking. laughs>
Like, why is it? Oh, right, Jesus. That's right. That was great, because I haven't really liked Lafayette and Jesus' storyline until the last couple episodes.
Yeah, and now we know why.
Yeah,
I guess they were setting it up.
When they came back from Mexico, like the whole when they were there in Mexico, I was like, oh, okay, but that was all set up. But then now I see it in play. Now it's great, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. I have to agree with you on that, but I like your theory. Okay. Is there any other theories? Does anybody have any other theories, or you guys all support Lynn?
No, that's a good one.
I think
you're right. We're going to find out like how they actually do
it. Right, exactly. How they're going to do it.
Yeah. A couple other storylines, and before we go back to the event, the big event, but Jessica, we saw the preview last week as she is, you know, unconsolable and crying in front of Nan, of all people.
Jessica.
And then, which was really hilarious. And then Jason goes to Hoyt's house and Hoyt is basically like, here's the box. I don't want to, you know, take it over there. You have to take it over there for me. You know, you're my best friend and everything. And I guess before that, we can talk a little bit about Nan and Bill too, because they had a really intense...
That was so great that Bill finally got to tell her off.
Yeah, it's like your fault. You know, it's not his fault. It's your fault, right, Nan? You didn't listen, and
it's true. Yeah,
so true. And I love that he stood up for himself in front of his progeny. You know, and boy, they're all chained up there. What a great scene!
Didn't it remind you kind of a bit? She's like, you know, Jessica's crying in the corner.
Yes,
and then like the dad and the, you know, the mom are kind of like arguing. I just thought it was kind of like a family
household.
Yes, right, exactly.
Right. It kind of was, right? And Bill, poor Jessica's just quiet over there, like, oh, you're gonna be quiet here anyways. I love that scene, and again, kudos to Bill for just saying, you know, what was going on, you know, just telling her what was happening. Okay, so Jason is talking to Hoyt and just says, you know, I don't want to get involved. You know, he's trying to be all diplomatic about it. But, you know, essentially, Hoyt's like, no, you got to do it. You're my best friend, you know. And so he takes the box and scratches out the For You monster on the box.
I love that.
The monster box.
It was very sensitive.
Completely scratched it out.
I know.
So she wouldn't see For You monster, and then took it over to her doorstep.
Which was sweet, and gave it to her. And, you know, it was funny because I was thinking, well, where's the security? And sure enough, Jessica's like, oh, Bill had an event, so all security's with him. You know, like, where's everybody? And she's the only one at the house.
Okay, and I have a question.
Yeah.
Why, when they have that gigantic, gorgeous mansion, did they decide to do what they did in the back of the truck?
Because that was her dream. Remember?
Oh, wait, dream? Oh, was this from previous?
No, I mean, previously she had imagined.
Okay. Dream about the... She was, like, in the cabin of the truck. But they were in... I was just like, what? They have that nice, beautiful mansion where they could, like, go from
You know what? I wonder if it's also... Because she did ask... She did invite him, you know, do you want to come in? And then I think he was being gentlemanly. But then did you see, like, the sexual tension and sexual attraction that they had? And then it was like, but do you think there was a little bit of glamoring by Jessica that caused them to, you know?
I thought, like, they usually play that music whenever.
Yeah, they usually make that really obvious.
Oh, okay. So that was all natural. Okay.
I thought she might do it, but I don't think she did in the end. Because I think, you know. Jason wanted it as much as she did. And the whole Taylor, because the whole thing, it was on our Facebook page, Stephanie posted it, but Taylor Swift was doing, has a song in the episode, which came at that time when she and Jason got together. And it's very appropriate because the Taylor Swift album, they kept showing it in the episode a couple times.
I did like the camera angle, you know, because like just as like when they were saying like, oh, I'm not going to come in. But the next thing, the camera kind of like it was like a wide shot, you know, kind of then.
How it like tilted swept up.
Yeah. And then you see the truck and then boom, Jessica jumps up or not jump up. But she like, you know, she sits up,
like arches her back.
And then Jason was right there. And I was like, whoa, that totally surprised me. That, I was sensing that there was going to be some action, but I thought Jason was going to be strong. Then the truck scene, I was like, whoa, okay. I guess it didn't,
I guess there's a love triangle.
Oh gosh. I don't know. I feel bad for Hoyt.
Maybe it's just those two now.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for Hoyt, but I also like Jason and Jessica. I didn't think I would, but I do like them together. I don't know how long I'm going to like them together, but I kind of like this. I was kind of rooting for them. And he better turn into a panther before the end of the season, or I'm going to be really mad.
Yep.
Half panther.
When is the full moon?
Yeah, well, speed up time, man. Come on. And again, before we go back to the big event, I do want to talk a little bit about Sam, Tommy, and Luna.
That's right.
Sam and... Luna and her little daughter, just the cutest little trio. And they go hiking or they go camping. And Sam's just like, no, what if I want this to be my problem? And Luna's like, no, you don't want this to be your problem. And he's kind of like, no, I do. And then they go off, do a little camping somewhere. And
they're getting in touch with nature.
They are getting in touch with nature. That cute little scene with the three of them and the rabbit, the bunnies. And she's like, I hope I'm a shifter and not a werewolf. And Luna's like, well, whatever you are, it's what you're meant to be, you know.
Very mom-like.
I know. And I love that the kid knows that she's a super nice. She's going to be something. Eventually she's going to turn into something. And so, you know, Sam and Luna kind of get it on that night. Now, what's interesting is Marcus, Luna's ex, comes to Merlot's and meets Tommy and tells him, hey, give this to your brother. I need to talk to him. Well, it was a little stronger words than that. And at that point, did you all think that Tommy was going to turn into Sam and go and meet Marcus? What did you guys?
I didn't. I was surprised.
Really?
That he did that.
Huh. I kind of thought he might.
I mean, not super surprised. I didn't like, oh my God, but I just wasn't sure.
Okay.
Did we speculate
Tommy was going to do something?
You knew Tommy was going to do something? Is that what you said?
I had a feeling, a slight feeling, because I was like, he's not even on talking terms with his brother, so why would he give him a note from some random guy that walked in who he didn't like in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
That's true, yeah. Did we speculate this last...
You did.
Did we? Last episode? Yeah.
I listened to the episode.
Okay. We did? Okay. Yeah, did we think he was going to turn into... Okay. Oh, because
well,
we watched the preview.
We thought that he was going to redeem himself, kind of to help Sam out.
Because we watched the preview of that whole scene of Marcus and Tommy, and then we're like, well, what's he going to do?
Oh, right, right.
You know, and sure enough, Sam doesn't even know anything about this because he's out getting it on with Luna in the woods. But
I like that. What is that? What is it called when they did that? Oh gosh, how they what when they did that scene, the comparison or not comparison? There's a term.
Oh, the montage of going.
Is it? Yeah, because they were
cutting back and forth. But
yeah,
that kind of annoyed me actually, just because I've seen that. I've seen that done. A lot of times, and like, here's a sex scene, and here's cutting to violence. It's like, oh, True Blood, really?
Yeah.
Usually more inventive than that, but.
But it was very sexy. It was more sexy than the winter in bed scene.
So. Oh, anything's better than that.
Yeah, no, that was definitely sexier.
I enjoyed that one. I was like, oh, actually, they did that one right.
Yeah, and so in a way, Tommy kind of did redeem himself because maybe he must have felt bad and was like, well, I'm just going to go over there and defend Sam. Sam's not here, you know?
And he blamed himself. He pinned it on himself. I mean, then he changed.
He did. He says, well, you know, he didn't sleep with, she didn't sleep with Sam. She slept with his brother. And what? And then they started beating on him. And Alcide is just standing there like, come on, guys, don't do this. Which that was really weird. But I guess Alcide was just sort of resigned from helping Sookie in any vamp, you know, action anymore. And he's like, fine, I'm going to be a part of this pack. I was kind of sad when he said, okay, yeah, I'll help you, Marcus. But I could see why.
But he said no violence, though. He was only there just as a kind of 6'6", you know, door wide door, you know, man kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I was, I noticed, just going back a little bit, when he stormed out of Sookie's house, you know, after saving, you know, bringing her back, I felt like it was very, I thought he was kind of reaction, in reaction to that incident that he went and talked to Marcus about joining his pack because I kind of felt like Alcide realized that, okay, it's no use trying to help Sookie because Sookie is so involved in the vampire affairs that he... LC now is more focused on like, okay, well, I need to kind of join a pack, be part of that, and help where I can.
He gave up trying to help Sookie after
a little bit.
Basically didn't thank him. And then he went off to that pack, and oh, I can't wait to see what happens after I
Me
saw
too.
Debbie and Marcus stuff in the next
premiere, next week's preview, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen there, because... I don't know. Marcus is definitely bad news.
Yes.
And if Debbie is already conflicted, like she doesn't know where to go, good or bad. I feel like Elsie's going to be in a really tough position, trying to be a good boyfriend, but also doing the right thing.
Yeah, be a good boyfriend, do the right thing, and be a part of this pack.
Right.
Which isn't necessarily a good thing at this point. Yeah. So.
Right.
And I guess. And what was strange is I thought Alcide and Sam had met, but I guess not.
I was surprised by that too.
Because when quote unquote Sam walks into the garage and Alcide just kind of looks at him, because Alcide didn't know who was coming. He just said the guy who's sleeping with my separated wife, and I thought that they had met before though.
Yeah.
That he had been to Merlot's or something, but I guess not.
I was
really
surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. But then I thought maybe it was just maybe he heard the name was mentioned, but not necessarily meeting.
Huh.
So or Elsie was putting on an act, you know, to see where I don't know. I actually kind of didn't really pay that much attention in that part, but I don't know. I don't know. I just don't want LC to get in trouble because I like his alphaness. Like, you can definitely tell he has that alpha.
He does.
Male, like, alpha where...
He should be in charge.
Exactly. So I just want him to take out Marcus. And
yes.
Yeah.
Take him out, LC. Just do it. Okay. I think we got everybody now, right? We got all those storylines. We can go back to the Shreveport Dorchester Hotel. Event, the poster with the Festival of Tolerance poster with Bill, Nan, and that girl. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And all right, so
And Bill had wanted, due to the whole witch thing, like controlling the vampire, Bill had wanted to cancel this event.
He did. But, he really knows what should be done. Maybe he should be the lead of the American Vampire League and take Nan out.
Nan, they just don't get along. And I hate the, I thought it was so funny. They were sitting up there while this woman, this girl, is like introducing the living dead, head of the club.
Her sister.
And Bill's looking around. It's like, okay, we're celebrating the living dead, and yet there's no living dead around.
Besides the three of us, yeah.
And then I love the comparison. Right. He says, it's like being at a Civil War celebration and there are no black people.
They're African American.
I know. Nan, shut up. Nan, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh.
That was actually a funny scene. I really like that scene.
And Bill made a face, kind of like, what?
Feels like you are so wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong, man. Oh, God. Okay. And then Antonia and her people are coming, and they basically turn Bill's three vampires into her will. Eric is there too. All hell breaks loose. The three friends of Bill kill the security, and man, things are going to roll. And, you know, you do hear before that, Sookie's running, Bill!
Run!
And then at the end, she's like, run! And then that's the end of the episode. So, what do we think? Now, we've watched the preview. We could talk about the preview now for next week. And any thoughts? I mean, it seems like Bill shoots someone, maybe shoots Eric. I have no idea. Those are always edited weird.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's always edited to mislead you. But basically all hell breaks loose. And
I hope they didn't kill any humans, because I mean, Antonia was really good at manipulating, like making the vampires look bad, mm-hmm. killing innocent, you know, killing the human guards, you know, using vampires to kill them. But like, she was controlling them, so she's no better, you know. So I hope during during the chaos, I hope like no one got hurt, like the humans, you know.
Well, it would just hurt the vampires some more.
Yeah,
in this festival of tolerance,
I know
three humans died. Down with the vamps.
You know, it was kind of hard to tell what was going on in the preview for next the next episode. The only thing that I could really pick out was, you know, there was a lot of fighting, obviously, and Sookie was standing there like she didn't know what to do. She was just yelling at them, stop doing this. And then there was the thing with Debbie and Marcus, where Marcus like brushed her cheek and she was all smiling at him, all cute.
Oh yeah. And Sam goes back into the Sam goes, either Sam or Tommy, but I think it's Sam, goes back into the garage. He probably finds out about Tommy, and he goes in there. Which then, if I were Sam, I would turn into a really big, bad animal and just wipe them out.
Like
a grizzly bear or something.
He can turn into anything he wants, right? Well, he has to look at it first. But still, he could turn into something and basically wipe out those wolves.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I gotta say, I'm loving all the side stories that are going on this season. Mm-hmm. Especially like Lafayette's and Jessica's. They're just so interesting. And it really gets you involved in their characters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling Sookie and Eric at all.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm bored.
Yep.
Where did you guys read? I don't know. I read it somewhere that Stephen Moyer did an interview where he had a quote.
Yeah.
He said that Sookie and Eric, they've been like, you know, they've been doing foreplay or not foreplay, but like, what was the comment that for the past four seasons they've been, you know, doing
like
foreplay
around it?
Yeah. And then now that they're doing it, it's just not. It's like, oh, that's it. You know,
yeah. He says it's the longest foreplay I've ever seen.
Oh, that's it. Yes. Yeah.
He says, we've seen Sookie tempted by Eric for 4 years, and it was like, for F's sake, just get it on already.
Yeah.
Says, it was the longest foreplay I've ever seen. Stephanie posted that on our Facebook site.
Okay. And yes, we're not satisfied by their,
I know.
So, by the way it was presented, yep.
Yeah, it's really, Yeah, and that's Stephanie wrote a little synopsis since she couldn't be here. And I read the first part, but she says, just like you, Shannon, I'm starting to favor the other storylines. Jason, Jessica, the wolf pack, and even Lafayette being possessed, though I still don't know how that ties into the rest of the story. Too bad you're not here, Stephanie, to hear Liz's theory.
I didn't even know. That's right.
And I think, you know, I think that bodes well for the rest of the characters, because a lot of times in many of the other seasons, I'm usually only interested in what Sookie is doing with Bill or with Eric. You know, some of the other storylines, you know, I know that they're supposed to be important too, but now I feel like those B storylines are much more interesting and rich and worthy of our time, because it's just, I don't know what they're doing. They're kind of languishing here with Sookie and Eric and all of that. I mean, I think they built it up and then it didn't pay off.
Yeah.
You know, like, I liked the buildup, but then when it happened, it was such a letdown. So,
yeah.
I think partly is also they have, I mean, the story itself and, you know, Charlene Harris's books, I think there's a lot of characters and there's just not enough time in that, 45 to 55 minutes of, you know, airtime. I mean, there's no commercials, but still, it's not to satisfy us with all the details,
and
you know?
Honestly, all those other storylines are fresh.
Yes,
they aren't
exactly
in the book. So maybe that has to do with it, but I don't think we're the only ones.
I don't think so. Okay,
you
haven't read
the
any
books.
Of the books. And
yeah, you
I
haven't read
saying.
The books.
Oh,
and you're bored
yeah.
With it too.
Okay.
So
they just have not paid off on Eric and Sookie finally getting together in a good way. It's just all those scenes have felt off. You know, every time we've talked about them, we've been like,
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but my last comment for that theater or hotel hall scene. So it right when the chaos hit, it reminded me of the church scene from season 2, the Dallas.
Oh, right.
Church of, I don't know. I just felt like there's going to be like a big showdown, you know, like a fight between, you know, good versus evil or whatever.
Is.
Kind of something like that, but I don't know who's going to be on what team because I don't think there's a lot of people to fight off Antonia, you know, right there.
It sounds to me, well, she's going to be really powerful. Mm-hmm. Well, she's turning some vampires, you know, into her will. So that's pretty scary. And I don't know.
And then we kind of lost a fairy story.
We did, right? Well, they just kind of showed up in episode 1 and they're gone.
In the preview.
Oh, there really?
Oh, there was?
Yeah, there was. I saw it for just a moment's time, like just a split second. But there was one. It was lit up in kind of a yellowish glow, and it looked like it's like goblin form.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay, good. Good to know.
Not crazy. Yeah, I saw it.
Because I know the last episode, Sookie did say, I have powers, you know. Yeah. Whatever little I have, I can do something. And she did fight off, like, somebody. So,
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will see. So, there's only 3 episodes left of the season.
Yes.
Which is kind of weird, but, you know.
Went by really fast.
It did. It really did. I just feel like every season goes by really fast. You know, where we've just started digging in and then they're done, right?
But it's so weird. Like, I feel like in the past it was like, you know, I'm like salivating at the end of each episode. Like, oh my God, I can't wait till next Sunday. This time it's just kind of like, oh, Sunday rolls around. Oh, wait.
I know.
I'll watch it on Monday.
Yeah,
oh, wait, I'll watch it on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
That's bad, though.
I know.
Yeah.
Were we more interested in what was happening with Vampire Diaries to an extent? I think kind of.
Yeah.
This past season we were really interested in the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, I'd have to say that's a stronger season than the season of True Blood, definitely.
Oh, wow.
We do have 3 more episodes, maybe, you know.
Maybe it'll ramp up.
Maybe they'll pull out a full run at the very end. Yeah,
we'll end with a bang.
All right. Well, that wraps up our recap of True Blood, but to wrap up, Stephanie, she just said she posted a couple good stories on Facebook, and she's also started reading Bloodlines. So she's reading the new the spinoff of the Vampire Academy series.
Do you know how she got a free download
Oh, she just she pre-ordered and it came to her. It just went straight to her Kindle.
Oh, that's what happened.
So you can buy it now on your Kindle.
Okay, good. Okay. Because I was like, how do you get a free download? Okay, she pre-ordered.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so just a couple emails here. And I have been corrected so many times about the Teen Wolf comment that I made a couple weeks ago. Okay, this is from Christopher and to all the other listeners regarding Teen Wolf. When the alpha mentions that female werewolves turn crazy twice a month, I don't think he meant that they literally turn into a werewolf twice. I think he was just making a slight joke about women being crazy once a month already during their period, and then turning into a werewolf would be another time during the month. Love the show.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to take that literally because now I'm offended. No, I'm kidding. And then here's another comment from Ideris. I'm sorry if I said your name wrong. Just wanted to drop a quick email to say hi. I'm glad that you did a quick review of the Teen Wolf finale. True Blood, Season 4, Episode 8. That was last episode. I have to say that a couple of episodes ago, when Jessica glamored Hoyt, I stopped watching for a few weeks, but the Pam storyline dragged me back and has been a disappointment. I just want to add my voice to the enough of the Sookie and Eric love fest. This boy, Eric, is not interesting and might appeal to damage Sookie, but cannot be a real relationship. I have not read the books. Also about Mavis and Lafayette. I just wanted to point out something that you guys seemed a bit confused about. The ghost lady was a woman called Mavis, she checked it out on IMDb, who had an affair with a married Bellaflor ancestor. They produced a child who the man killed. The ghost is connected to the doll that she bought for her child and also the house Hoyt and Jessica rented. So the Not Your Baby is about Mikey and that he is Mavis's son.
No, Mikey is not Mavis's son.
No, but I think maybe she means to say that she believes that
yes,
she is
right.
Mavis's
she believes.
Son.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's what Idris has means. She thinks, like everyone else in town, that Mikey is Terry and Arlene's son, not Arlene and Renee's child. No, I don't know about that either. I think we cleared that up.
Okay, well, I think the connection is Terry Bellaflor. So he's a Bellaflor. He's one of the descendants, right? Mm-hmm. From so I think that's the connection, and
okay.
Because I remember I had mentioned, oh, maybe it's Renee's, you know, but it's actually the Bellaflor. The doll?
Yeah, I just thought it was the doll that was the connection. Because when she brought in the doll, when Arlene brought it to the baby, that's when the woman started appearing to the baby.
Oh.
I think it's all connected, though. Yeah, I think she's right about this. It's all kind of, yeah.
The house, the baby, and the Bellaflors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, also during the fire, that was when the baby came, or some, because remember, the baby saw it, and then I remember, Eileen, you were saying, oh, yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
So I think it was during the fire.
Yeah.
And she appeared.
Mm-hmm. And she says, I have to admit that I cannot see how Lafayette is going to defeat Marnie with his medium powers, if that is in fact where this power will ultimately lead. I continue to watch True Blood, but with not much hope that it will have a satisfying conclusion to many of the stories. Ouch. Looking forward to your next episode and the return of the Vampire Diaries on September 15th.
All right. That's how we feel, too.
Oh, she says, if you read this out loud, you could just say my name is UK listener. Sorry.
Oops.
I probably butchered your name anyways. And I didn't say your last name.
No one will know.
Sorry.
I also butchered your name. So sorry about that. And I think that's it. Any parting words from anybody here?
I still love True Blood. I just, you know, it's like, you know, you can't have five strong seasons or four strong seasons. Wait, is this season four?
It's okay. Season four, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Can you believe that? It's four. Wow. It's been 4 years.
Yeah. Somewhere, I know where, I just thought of it. Someone says maybe Russell Edgington might be back. I don't know why.
How are they going to get him out of there? I guess somebody's
trying. Maybe it must be a flashback then. I'll find it. And
I mean, he's still
it.
Alive. He's just in cement.
Earthquake.
Sorry, I totally forgot. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll find the article and post it on our Facebook page because I remember read it somewhere. Russell Edgington might be back. Ooh,
that'd be
you
great.
Did. Ooh.
That would make me forgive the stupidity of them putting him in cement instead of just staking him.
Yeah, that's true, right?
It's like, really, guys? I mean, that's like, that's so dumb. But anyway.
Well, yeah, it's too, oh, okay. So it's a spoiler. So I will, it's a true, it's a Hollywood Reporter story.
Yes. Okay. Well, I guess that's it for this episode, and we'll be back next week with another recap. Looking forward to the next episode, even though we're a little lukewarm this season. Right. And we'll have more. And again, you can go ahead and email us byclubshow@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, byclubshow.com. And Stephanie's posting all kinds of good stuff at facebook.com/byclubshow and also on Twitter @byclubshow. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.